Just David Wilkes is fine. Let's bow in prayer. Holy Father, we thank thee that you're not just the God of the mountain, but you're God of the valley, and you're in control of everything. We thank thee this afternoon that we can bring your word, the gospel, the whole reason why we're here. Pray that as your word is read, that our hearts will be challenged, Lord God, that sinners who do not know thee, O Lord, would be driven to fear thee and to love thee. We commit ourselves to you now, Lord. We thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Good afternoon. Our scripture this morning will be taken from a very familiar passage of scripture, Isaiah 53. I know you've heard it brought to you a few weeks ago by our dear brother, and I believe I had shared this with you, but there's so much richness in Isaiah 53, and the uniqueness of this book is that it presents to us the full counsel of God, even the gospel. You know, our brother Richard Greenidge, our elder Richard Greenidge, just reminded us the reason why we're here. We're here to bring the gospel. And this is what we're going to do this afternoon. Isaiah 53, very unique book. When you study it, it's inexhaustible. There's so much uniqueness to it. You read the book, you realize that it has 66 chapters matching the number of books in the Bible. It is almost in the center of the Bible, and yet at the same time we look at the history behind it, written 700 years before our Lord, and yet it looks to the future, to the past, and to the present. It's a mighty book, and what makes it so unique, of course, is that it tells about the vicarious suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read it quickly, and then we'll have a few salient points that I will share with you, and hopefully at the end of our message we would understand the reason for the writing of the book, and those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, after hearing these words, understanding the reason why he came, you would also cry out like the publican, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who hath believed our report, says Isaiah, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Christ, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, unacquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. As I read verse 5, I want you to put your name there. Call your name out as I read. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, says God, shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The remarkable writing of this book, the remarkable story here of Isaiah 53. Everything that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 53 was fulfilled in the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. For example, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteem him not. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. Look at what it says. It says, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. And he asked his disciples to stay with him. But look at verse 5 of Psalm 22, verse 16. We're talking about the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. Isaiah takes us to the past, to the present, and to the future. Look at what Psalm 22 and the fulfillment of verse 5 in Isaiah. Psalm 22 and verse 16. Look at what it says. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. The fulfillment of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of Isaiah 53. Listen to what it says. Let's put it on the board. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at the fulfillment. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. You know, when we go back to the book of Acts, and we find when Jesus, or God, told Philip to go into Gaza, for there was a man there reading this very chapter, Isaiah 53. And Luke, or rather Philip, was able from that very chapter to preach unto him Jesus. The fulfillment of Isaiah 53 found in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 22 verse 16 says, they pierced my hands and feet. Look at Matthew chapter 27 verse 35. What it says. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. Turn to it, please. Matthew 27 verse 35. Look at the fulfillment of this very, very important book that talks about the suffering of our Lord. It says, then they crucified him and divided his garments. Again, referring back to Psalm 22, where it says that they cast lots upon my garments. They crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Why are we referring to this? We want to let you know that Isaiah 53 speaks clearly of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth of the gospel is found in that book. But let's continue. Look at Psalm 69, verse 20. Psalm 69 and verse 20. Again, talking about the suffering, the life, the death, the burial, and even later on, we're going to see the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to have pity on me, and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. When we study the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, we look at the times as he moved, as he was moving to Calvary, and he brought his disciples with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them to stay and watch with him as he went to pray. He came back, they were sleeping. Everyone had turned against him. Yes, and even the people who followed him during his ministry, they turned against him. When Pilate said, what do you want me to do with this man? They all shouted, crucify him, crucify him. He looked for some to have pity on him, but there was no man. And for some to comfort him, yet he found none. But let's continue in this beautiful book, this lovely book, this prophetic book of Isaiah 53, talking about the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we preach. We preach Christ crucified, buried, risen, coming again. Isaiah 53 again talks about his suffering. And listen to what he says in verse 10 of Isaiah 53. So much here. I have so many scriptures that I wanted to share with you, but this has really touched my heart, and I want to continue to just bring it to you. Psalm of verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. You know, one of the testimonies, or the testimony that God had about his son, was that found when Jesus was being baptized. We find in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus comes to the River Jordan to be baptized. And he was baptized by John the Baptist. And after his baptism, we find that voice coming from heaven, where God, approving of the life of his son, said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And the command, hear ye him. But here in Isaiah, what do we find? It says in verse 10, yet the same son that he was pleased with, it said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The son that he had fellowship with from eternity past, here on the cross, God had to turn his back on his son, so much so that in Matthew chapter 28, we find him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Not only was he forsaken by men, but he was also forsaken by God. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Verse 10. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus was made an offering for sin. God in his holiness, God in his purity, could not look upon his son as he suffered on that cross. He had to turn away so that his son had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's very interesting in that cry of Jesus, when he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That was a combination of the Hebrew and the Aramaic language. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And the people standing there sarcastically, knowing what Jesus was saying, understanding that he was crying out to his father, sarcastically they would cast into his teeth, he's calling for Elijah. Wasn't calling for Elijah. They knew what Jesus was saying. But this was part of the jeering, of the mocking, as they looked at him whom they pierced. He cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When God looked at his son, he no longer saw the one whom he hath fellowship with. He no longer saw the one in whom his soul delighted. He saw your sin and my sin. He saw the ultimate iniquity that was cast on his son. He could not look on his son, and so his son cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the story doesn't end there. Because in this great book of Isaiah, not only does it give us the vicarious sufferings of our Lord, but it also, in this book, gives us his burial. It says, and he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death. On Calvary, there were three individuals. There was the thief on the left of him. There was the thief on the right of him. And the man in the middle, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53, coming to life on Calvary. He was numbered with the transgressors. He made his grave with the rich. After his death, Joseph of Arimathea, a very wealthy man who happened to be also a disciple, or I should say a disciple who happened to be wealthy, he came to Pilate and he demanded the body of Jesus. And he put the body of Jesus in his own tomb. And as I often remind you, it was a borrowed tomb. That tomb was being borrowed for 3 days and 3 days only. So Joseph of Arimathea takes the body of Jesus. He made his grave with the rich. Isaiah 53 again being fulfilled. But not only does Isaiah 53 give us the vicarious suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only does it give us the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the word reminds us that he was delivered up for our offenses. But Isaiah 53 also gives us the great hope, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, he not only died, he wasn't only buried, but he rose up again the third day. He gave back to Joseph of Arimathea his own grave. For the third day, the scripture says, he arose. And when he arose from the dead, he arose the leader of a new creation, so much so that he could now say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He resurrected himself, and he also has the power to resurrect you from your sin and from your depression and from your guilt and from your wickedness and from a life of evil. He's able to resurrect the life, for he is the resurrection and the life. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Listen to what Isaiah says. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The resurrection. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. And you see, the resurrection really is the core of the gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel. And so we preach Christ, for I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Yes, he saw the travail of his soul. We are, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, the travail of his soul. Yes, he bore us. He birthed us. He made himself a bride for himself. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his bride. And you know, I was meditating on this morning, and on Tuesday, we were reminded about this person called Judas, who was in the church, who was going on and preaching like the other disciples, probably maybe doing miracles, who knows, being one of them, but yet not one of them. And you know, sometimes, as I often remind ourselves, sometimes, and as Paul reminds us also, we just need to make our calling and election sure. We need to make sure. And sometimes I would say to the Lord, Lord, this message is so challenging to me. Just confirm that I belong to you. And he begins to bathe my soul. And the tears begin to fall. And I realize I open his word. And he reminds me. And sometimes, even during our lives, sure, we come to that point sometimes where we feel as if God has forgotten about us. But in those moments, he comes to us and he reminds us that we belong to him. We are his bride. As a bride needs sometimes the affirmation of her husband, she needs to know that her husband loves her. She needs to know that her husband cares for her and thinks the world of her and loves her. So we, the bride of Christ, sometimes just need that confirmation, just need that affirmation. Lord, I'm yours. But if you're here this night, this afternoon, and you can't say that, you are not the bride of Christ. He suffered for you. Isaiah 53 brings to us the love of a great God for a great sinner, for a great offense levied against him. He, through the person of Jesus Christ, went to the cross, became a man. What a mystery! God becoming a man. What a mystery of godliness. Manifested in the flesh, says the word of God. Justified in the spirit. Preached of into the world. Received up into glory. What a mystery is this. That God becoming a man. But I like the song, giving us the whole reason why he did it. Love was when God became a man. Locked in time and space. Without rank or place, when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Love was God dying for your sin, dying for my sin, in the person of Jesus Christ. We want to say that God did not die, but the Son of God did die, the man Christ Jesus. Love was God. And so this afternoon, as I close the short message, but powerful, Isaiah 53 continues to speak to us, because it speaks not only of the suffering, of the death, but also of the glorious resurrection and everything that entails. It talks about justification in Isaiah 53. It says, by his knowledge, knowing the God of the universe, knowing the person of Christ, the scripture says that you are justified. And in this book, this Old Testament book, we're getting the ministry of justification. His knowledge, by his knowledge, says the scriptures, shall my righteous servant justify many. God will be able now and is able now to look at you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he declares you righteous. Don't ask me how he does it. Don't ask me how he looks at this wretch.
But for the grace of God, it says you are justified because of Isaiah 53. God brings you peace. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 reminds us that not only has he suffered, not only did he die, not only was he buried, not only did he rise again to birth his church, but he's here to give you peace. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon, you are at war with God. God is not at war with you. You are at war with God. And unless you repent and turn to him, he's not willing that you should perish. Hell was not made for you. Hell was not a place made for you. Jesus said it was made for the devil and his angels. In essence, it was made for the rebellious. If you refuse the offer of Isaiah 53, the scripture says, it is appointed unto men once to die. Immediately after this, the judgment. You close your eyes on this side of heaven and open the eyes of your soul on the other side of eternity. You'll stand before the righteous judge. We're pleading with you this afternoon. If you're under the sound of the word of God on Zoom, or under the sound of the message this afternoon, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we plead with you. Turn to God. Receive him, who will receive you. If you're here this afternoon and you are a Christian, there are things in your life that you need to deal with. You need to make your calling and election sure. That sin that so easily besets you keeps coming up. God is asking you to repent and to turn it over to him. He is reminding you to seek him first. Not the deal, not the partner, not the money, not the fame. Seek him first and his righteousness. He promises all things will be added to you. Turn away from your sin. Turn to God for salvation. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word that reminds us of your love for us and giving us the beautiful story in Isaiah 53 and giving us beautiful Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for going to the cross for us, dying, Lord. Thank you for going into the tomb, the third day raising again from the dead, giving us life, and life more abundantly. Father, we pray that those that are in the house this afternoon that really has not fully surrendered to you may be going through the motions, may be singing the songs of Zion, maybe saying the amens, hanging around Christian folk, hoping that maybe some will rub off on them. Oh God, give them no rest. Give them no peace till they come to know you in a real way.